death, afterlife, and the end time study. Tonight we'll begin session 12, focus on the tribulation period. We're going to go through two areas of this focus. The first area is, what are the main events in heaven prior to the tribulation? And then, what are the main events on earth during the tribulation? Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we lift our heart to you, we lift, Father, our whole being, asking that you will touch us this night, that we might learn from your word, from your truth, that we might learn about our home, dear Lord God, that is in the future, that we always will understand that we're under your protection, no matter what age it might be. We ask, Father, now, as you guide and direct us, you'll help us to take your word to a lost and dying world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, what are the main events going on in heaven just prior to the tribulation? Just prior to the tribulation. Look with me, if you would. Number one, God is on his throne. We see him pictured in Scripture as God is sitting on his throne. This is just before the tribulation. Okay, let me ask you this. Where's the church at this time, just prior to the tribulation? Where is the church? Where are we? Yes, we're already with him. We're with Christ. We're going to be ones around the throne here, as you will see in a moment. But we're with him. The church has been taken out. Again, I remind you, when the church is taken out, it doesn't mean that that's the end of the salvation time. Many will be saved during the tribulation. 144,000 that we talked about. But many others will be saved during the tribulation. When we are taken up in the rapture to be with Christ during this time period of the tribulation we're getting in, which is a 7-year period, we are in heaven. We're not on earth. But the saints of the Old Testament have still not been resurrected. We have been. But the saints of the Old Testament have not been. You'll see some of that tonight also in the Scripture. So, first thing is God on his throne. The second thing you will see are Christians casting their crowns at his feet. So when you're asked the question, well, or even talking with yourself, you say, well, I don't deserve a crown. You know, I don't want to. Well, we know that, but we're going to get a crown. When Christians are going to have the crown and Christians are going to do something with the crown, you will see in Scripture what we do with it. That's why you ought to be excited about the rewards that we're getting, the rewards that God is giving us. As a matter of fact, it is God himself who says that we must believe that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. If we don't believe that he's a rewarder, then we're not diligently seeking him. So the rewards have to do with us believing that we're getting them and we are going to be receiving them. And we're receiving them for the glory of God, not for the glory of self. Remember, anytime you focus on I, it's sin. That's the trouble in the sin part, the I. So when what we're focusing on, the rewards that I get to present back to God, sitting on his throne. Listen to Revelation 4, verses 10 and 11. The 24 elders fall down before him. Let me stop right there. The 24 elders represent the church redeemed. That's all the redeemed period. As everyone, all the Christian, all the redeemed in Christ, are the 24 elders represent all of us, the church. The 24 elders are all the redeemed. 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever. Now, that's what we're doing. We're around the throne at this time. And cast their crowns before the throne. So there again, when someone asks you, what am I going to do with the crown? You're going to present it to the one who blessed you with being able to get that crown, saying, you are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Okay, We take our rewards, our crown of rewards, and we cast them at the feet of God, or at the throne, okay? Let me ask you a question. Will every Christian have a reward? Oh, you do have in Scripture, realizing that during the judgment seat of Christ, that a lot of works are going to be burned, but then we are going to escape. We will, as Christian, we're guaranteed to be heaven bound, but a lot of our works will be burned because they were works of self, weren't works in the right spirit. Will every Christian receive a reward? Well, you know, okay, let me put it this way. Have you ever thought about, maybe I'll get through the gate, I'll get in heaven, but just barely escaping by fire, which is the Scripture says, and where many people say that they believe that there are Christians who will not have a crown or have a reward. But anyway, that's what some of them say. And then they'll get there, but they won't have anything to lay at the feet of the throne. Have you got that Scripture looked up for me? 1 Corinthians 4, verse 5. Would you read it, Mary?
Therefore, judge nothing before the appointed time. Wait till the Lord comes. He will bring to light what is hidden in darkness and will expose the motives of men's heart. At that time, each will receive his praise
from God.
Okay. That Scripture gives us a focus that each will receive his praise from God. Everyone, meaning that there's going to be something that God's going to find praiseworthy in every Christian's life. Now, you might not be able to dig deep enough right now and figure it out. And matter of fact, the one sitting beside you that's lived with you the longest might not be able to dig deep enough to find it out either. But God can. God can really dig to the depth, and he can see it. Now, so here we are. We're in heaven. Your pastor believes that everyone will have a crown to present. Now, I believe that simply because of righteousness itself, salvation, accepting Christ as Lord and Savior, the crown of righteousness, the being saved, believing him, that in itself, is that not a reward? And would we not, if nothing more than that, let's say a Christian, an individual accepts Christ and does nothing more for Christ, will that individual go to heaven? You hear me say it all the time, yes. Now, his time on earth will have certainly been wasted to a point, but I just wonder, can a person get saved in the presence of other people, and that individual accepting Christ, is that in itself not leading others to Christ? So I believe it goes a lot deeper than we can think. I believe that when we get to heaven and we start watching these instant replays of life, I know that scares you to death. You mean I've got to see? Oh, Brother Larry, I cannot believe. You mean everybody in the world's going to see that? Let me tell you something. I don't think that's the type of replays we're going to see. But I can assure you of this. What you would see in yourself will not compare to what others will have to see in themselves either. Because we, as individuals, all of us have made a lot of mistakes. Anybody in here that has not made mistakes? I'm going to talk to your mother next time I get a chance. So, everybody making mistakes. So, God says, here's what it comes down to. When God is sitting on his throne, we are around him. Hey, aren't you excited knowing you're going to get to be there? Huh? Aren't you excited, real understanding that you get to be a part of the kingdom of God? And we are praising God. The 24 elders are the redeemed or the church. Number three, this is what's going on prior to the tribulation. The tribulation period has not kicked in yet, but getting ready to. God is holding a scroll in his right hand. Look with me on Revelation 5, verse 1. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne. It is God who's sitting on the throne. And remember that. I hear people a lot of times say, well, Jesus is sitting on that throne. Now, where does the scripture say Jesus is? At the right hand of God the Father. God is sitting on the throne. As a matter of fact, Jesus was the one and also that reminded us that when God puts everything under Jesus, everything means everything except for God himself. So we understand that it's God on the throne. And his right hand, he's holding a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Okay, the seven seal focus here means a perfect number, meaning it belongs to God. Okay, not only that, it also means that only God knows what's in it. Only God knows exactly what is there. Now, look back in Ezekiel. I have Ezekiel. I printed this out for you to let you see a picture of this prophesied all the way back with Ezekiel. Ezekiel 2 verses 9 and 10. Then I looked and I saw a hand stretched out to me. In it was a scroll which he unrolled before me. On both sides of it were written words of lament and mourning and woe. Now, the book that God is holding, or the scroll, which would be a book, or we'll call a book, but the scroll that God is holding happens to be the book that God is going to judge from. It's God's judgment. It's God's justice. Many of the scholars said God's judgment. Many of the scholars said God's justice. Many said the lamentations of the woes that are getting ready to come on. I like the one that I like the most is God's foreordained, meaning God is looking and God has known and he has already put in the book his foreordained purpose. I believe that God is so in control that when he foreordains something, he's the only one that knows the outcome. He has the scroll in his hand, meaning he knows who's getting ready to get cast into hell. That's the scroll. That's the book that John is referring to here. John, now this is John, remember, John the Revelator, as we call him, or John the Beloved. So John is here, and John is telling us in Revelation, again, it's not Revelations plural, but Revelation. It is the revelation of Jesus Christ through John. It's not John's revelation, but Jesus' revelation. And letting us know that he sees what's going on and he's looking and there is a scroll in the right hand of God, he who sits on the throne. The problem is a call comes at this time, a call to open the seal of the scroll. Who can open the book? And the call goes out, John is looking. Again, only God knows what's in the book. Only God, there's only one who knows all, and that is God. And God knows what's in the book, yes, Jesus. But God knows what is in the book, and he's getting ready to reveal the tribulation or the lamentation that's getting ready to come on earth. Remember this, the tribulation period is just not the curse or the wrath of God on the human race, but it's the wrath of God on planet Earth. You're going to see where the mountains cease to exist and all here in a moment, if I can ever get to it. But a call to open the seal is Revelation 5, verses 2 through 5. You ready? You got the picture. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals?" Remind you again, I think it's very important for us. We talk about the archangels, and the archangel, the cherubim and the seraphim. Those are the cherubim and the seraphim angels are the only ones that we know that have wings. They're the only ones portrayed with any kind of wings. But you and I do not know. It has not been revealed to man the in-depthness of God's word, just like this book. Nobody knows. But the other angels that will exist that we don't even know a name for. It's too far above us. So that's what we see as the highest of the angels. But That's all God decided to share with us, is this. So it doesn't limit God. Please don't ever do that, folks. Don't ever limit God. It always makes me nervous when someone said that God cannot lie. And I said, you know, it's saying what God can't do. And, of course, it's a game with words. And I said, well, he could if he wanted to. The only reason God doesn't lie is because God chose that he would not lie. So he was in charge of that. But when you start limiting, okay, this is what I know about heaven. This is exactly the way it's going to be. Are there going to be streets of gold? Well, I believe that, but I think they're going to be a lot more in-depth than the gold. I think it's going to be more precious than that. I think that your mind and my mind can not right now even grasp a hold of it being gold. How in the world are we going to grasp any deeper? So God will give us what we can understand. Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose his seals? And no one in heaven or on earth. Oh, listen to this. Or under the earth. Who in the world's under the earth? One of the questions that I dealt with at one time was, is hell in the center of the earth? It very well may be. Something's going on down there. The only reason that I can think that it's not in the center of the earth because Washington, D.C. is on top. Gosh. Oh. Okay. Or under the earth was able to open the scroll or look at it. Now, I want you to picture this. This is how powerful this scroll is. The man's eyes, or even those of us that are around the throne at this time, we can't even look at the scroll. That's how powerful the word of God is and the commands of God that is listed inside this scroll. We can't even look upon it. So, John says, I wept much. I cried a whole lot. Because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or look at it. Folks, think of this. Around the throne at this time are all of the saints, all of the redeemed at this time that have been resurrected, and some that haven't even been resurrected. I'll give you that scripture in a moment. They're under the altar. And that's when God said, you all can rest for a little while longer. This ain't going to take much longer. Okay, and that's where they get sleep, death, and all of this, or you're sleeping until all, but it's not what the scripture says. Anyway, no one of all the redeemed, all the Christians, the greatest walking Christians on planet Earth are all gathered. Let me share something else with you. Who then, of all these Christians that are gathered, all of the saints that are there around the throne, who's the greater of the saints that are there? All the redeemed in Christ are there. Which ones of those are walking closer to Christ than the others?
None.
You're right. None. All are the same in Christ. You get this? Okay, how did they all get to be the same? I thought they all served the Lord in different degrees here on earth. Did. You mean Billy Graham's not going to be any closer there than Larry Vance? No, he's not. And actually, he teaches it. No, he's not. That's not the point. The greatness that we're focused on is who Christ is, not us. We are all redeemed in Christ. We will all, you're all saved the same way, right? Aren't we all? Okay, then wait a minute. Why then wouldn't those who walked closer with Christ, or even the disciples and all, why wouldn't they be closer to him than the rest of us would be? What did Jesus say? Well, did not Jesus even give us a few parables through Scripture about the hard servants that he was going to hire to go out and work in the field? And he says, so you, I'll give you 2 pennies or to go work today. And he started that morning and he hired some more at noon and gave them the same amount. And then hired more later that afternoon, just about time to get off, and give them the same amount. What did the workers do? They grumbled. Oh, I can't believe I've been working all day for this amount. Did we not agree on that amount? Yes, you did. And did the nooners not agree on that amount? Yes, they did. And the ones I hired an hour ago, did they not? Then why could you condemn me, Jesus says, for doing with what I own the way I please? That lets us know right there that when in salvation is one way through Christ, and we are all, think of this, God says that I'm as important to him as his own son is. Jesus told us that. He said, "You, what the Father has given me, I give to you, and we are one. As the Father and the Holy Spirit and I are one, so shall you be one with us." And here we are worrying, you know what that thought process is? The human existence. Well, now, wait a minute. I'm on the front seat. Well, why didn't you ever try to get a front seat at Vine Grove Baptist Church instead of sitting on the back? I just threw that one in for you. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And we're going to be opening those seals. Jesus is worthy. Now, on earth, Jesus referred to as the Lamb of God, right? In heaven, you see him still referred to as the Lamb. You'll see several analogies are focusing on the Lamb. But now he is introduced as what? The Lion of the tribe of Judah, from a lamb to a lion. You getting it? The Root of David has prevailed to open the scroll. Go straight to number 5. Worthy is the Lamb. Revelation 5, verses 6 and 7. And I looked, again, this is John speaking. And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures. Creatures, are some of you on your translations, as I said, will have beast. Creatures is a better translation of that. Means animals. For those of you who are wondering whether there's any animals in heaven or not, actually, yes, there is, and plenty of scripture shows that. But those are the animals that are around there. So what are they doing there? You'll find out when you get to heaven. Don't sweat it. And in the midst of the elders stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Meaning seeing everything and knowing everything. Representation of the perfect vision of life, your heart, the existence, and all that's going on around you. The number 7 is the perfect number for God. Number 3 is God, but number 7 means the perfect will of God. Number 6 is, as you know, the 666 coming from, and represents just the opposite of the number 7. So the majority of time that you will see, I won't say any time, majority of time you'll see the 7. That means it's the perfect number of God, God's perfect wisdom, God's ability to see these creatures that are around that have the eyes and all. As I said, let me bring this back to your attention. Folks, there will be animals in the hereafter and in the ages to come that you and I have never seen before or did not even know existed. And don't ask me if one of them's the unicorn. I don't have any idea, but I can tell you this. Animals, it was a creation of God. Knowing this and understanding the scripture to know that there will never be an end to God's creation. And think of it this way. What God has created, can anything eliminate? When we look I'm very protective of animals myself. And I know I don't want them to go extinct because we enjoy the creatures that are around us. But can man make extinct in existence a creation from God? No. No, it's impossible. Now, God may take away from us some of his creation because we're not taking care of it. properly, or that because that we do destroy, but you will never ever see where the human race or anybody or any other created being can eliminate a creation that God has created. It's impossible. Okay. How do I know that? Because the Bible tells me so. God, when he creates, he continues to create. And he says, again, I remind you of this. This is what we're going to be working for him throughout eternity. He says, my creation will never end. He's got all of the galaxies we have today. He's going to create more. And we can't figure out the earth. And he's going to create more and going to send us in service for him. Okay. Well, one of the elders said, oops, worthy is the Lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns, seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all of the earth. Then he came, Jesus, and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. The Lion of God, the Lamb of God, the Lion of God, comes and he takes the scroll. It's just like the Father saying, here, son, it's the time has come. Jesus takes the scroll and straight from the hands of God. And at this time, the judgment of God against humanity begins on earth. It doesn't begin until that takes place in heaven and you and I are there to see it happen. Not only are we there to see it happen, he's given us information before we get there as to what's going to happen. What are the main events on earth during the tribulation? We saw the main events prior to it. Look at what the main events are during the tribulation. The description of the tribulation is given in Revelation 6 through verse 19, through chapter 19. Chapter 6 through 19, 14 action-packed chapters of what's going on in the tribulation. Remind you again, who is not mentioned in those 14 chapters? The church. The body of Christ is never mentioned. Why not? We're not here. We're with him in heaven. The church is never mentioned. We got that straight last week, didn't we? The main focus through this period is God's judgment. How do you know you're not here? You cannot receive the judgment of God, folks. The judgment of God, the wrath of God, was taken by Jesus, who's opening the scroll now. He took our guilt and paid our penalty. Therefore, we can't receive it. At that time, Michael, Daniel 12, verse 1, at that time, Michael, the great prince who protects your people, will arise. Again, Michael the archangel is assigned to the Jewish nation. We know that from out throughout Scripture. Michael the archangel is the angel of the Jewish nation. And then Michael comes on the scene. There will be a time of distress such as has not happened from the beginning of nations until then. But at that time, your people, everyone whose name is found written in the book will be delivered. Okay. Their names are written in the book. He's not talking about us at this time. How do I know? We're there with him. He is talking about the nation of Israel, talking about the Jewish nation, and he says, everyone whose name is found written in the book. Jesus, when a lot of people get afraid, you know, they worry about the Old Testament saints and all the others. Well, Jesus hadn't come yet. I don't want them to be harmed. And that's great that you think that, because that shows the Christian love you have. You don't want anybody left behind either, do you? You want them to know if they had that. But what if they had got to know Jesus as we know Jesus? Folks, again, the church age, us, nobody. It's from the beginning of the church age through the end of the church age, nobody will be as blessed as we are. That's why we ought to be ashamed of ourselves by not taking that so often, that message to the world, so all who will hear will be saved. Now, they will be delivered. Notice this again. When Jesus says they will be delivered, they will be delivered. Count on it. That's it. They will be delivered. Again, I keep hearing about all of these, the end of the world, the end of earth, the end of time is coming because everybody's getting the nuclear weapons. Do you ever remember the days when you used to mess around the firecrackers before we got a little smarter? Well, some of us haven't got too much smarter than that. But and then, you know, when you light a fuse and you didn't want it to go off because mom just walked out the door and you're not supposed to have them anyway. and you spit on it and you put out the fuse. What God is saying, and he's looking at us in this focus, he's saying, I want you to know that your people are going to be delivered. These nuclear weapons and all of this, can they destroy part of the earth? Yes. Destroy a lot of innocent people? Yes. But can it be the total destruction of earth? No. God, just like you could put out that firecracker with a little spit, do you think God can't think and stop it all? Everybody's got the duds going off? And wonder, I can't believe that didn't work. You can only go, the human race can only go so far with God. You know, God had put his thumb on mankind many times throughout history that we know to stop it when they get so high and mighty, we will do this, we will do this. And God said, try to build a tower one time and do that, remember? They couldn't even finish that. Listen to Jeremiah 30, verses 4 through 7. This Bible describes this period as a woman going through birth pains. This is the message the Lord gave according to Israel and Judah. This is what the Lord says. I hear cries of fear. There is terror and no peace. Now, let me ask you a question. Do men give birth to babies? They didn't do it in this day. And they're trying to today. Have you know? Remember that? Do men give birth to babies? Then why do they stand there ashen-faced, meaning they've got their mouth right, they're terrified, hands pressed against their sides like a woman in labor? In all history, there has never been such a time of terror. It hasn't existed before this time. It will be a time of trouble for my people Israel, yet in the end, they will be saved. God will only allow things and situations of life to go so far with his people. And that's to teach all the other races. That's to teach us that God is in control. Notice when man falls. Man always falls when we decide we know more than God. When we've decided that we've got this figured out. And then that's when man falls, or when man decides, I'm too mighty, I'm too important to fail. That's when you've already fallen. Listen to Matthew 24, verse 8. Jesus said, all these are the beginnings of birth pains. Now, you all might know, I've never had a baby. But throughout Scripture, and listening to those of you who have, I don't want to have a baby. And the pain, and yet I think it's sort of amazing to talk to a mother, because the mother says that it's a pain that is so terrible at the time, and yet the memory of it fades quickly. The memory of the pain. So that's a pain. That's a pain during this time period that he says that all the human race will be feeling. I guess to the men on earth, I'm glad I'm in heaven during this time. I can tell you that. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 3. I knew, John, I shouldn't have got into that. I knew when I stepped into that, I shouldn't have. While people are saying peace and safety, destruction will come on them suddenly, as labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. Do you ever hear so much, doesn't it sort of make you sick when all the politicians get on TV and start talking about peace, 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 and there's not peace going on anywhere. There's not peace in the family. in our own families. There's not peace going on anywhere, and they say, you know, we're going to push for this peace in the Middle East. Well, my word, folks. Yes, and the scripture says it will continue. There will not be peace, but they will cry peace. That's how the great Antichrist will come along and deceive so many. I'm a man of peace. And the person who yells the peace that Jesus speaks of is always peace of your in your heart, peace of mind, where you're at peace with him. That's the peace he's talking about. Will there ever be peace among the human race on planet Earth? No. Well, you can't even get along with yourself half the time, can you? You do fine till you go to the bathroom and look in the mirror. Then you'd start remembering who you are and fussing at that one, right? The judgment and wrath of God will be poured out in three successive waves. First will be the seven seals. They will be opened during the first half of the tribulation. Look at your graph at the bottom. Then next is the seven trumpets. They will be blown during the second half of the tribulation. Then the seven bowls. They will be poured out in a brief period of time just before Christ's return. Remember, folks, the second coming hasn't happened yet. Jesus has not yet come. The saints, the dead, the saints of old have not yet risen. So this is a tribulation period. The church is taken out because of the grace of God. Again, it will always be by grace of God. It will always be through Jesus Christ. I'll admit to you, I do not know what they will call that during this period because the church is gone. But I do know this. It'll be the grace of Christ. And it'll be by Jesus, by those who get saved are saved. But I don't know what vehicle, let's say. Right now the vehicle is the church. We're the body of Christ. I don't know how Jesus will, what kind of vehicle. Will it be the church of the tribulation? I don't know that. Scripture doesn't say. But it's fine with me. Whatever he wants to call it, it's always still going to be him, right? Okay. First of all, let's look at it. The seven seals. This is the initial outpouring of God's wrath. Remember, Jesus has now got the scroll, and he's getting ready to open it. So listen to it. So look at your code that I've got up at the top. You see the seal? It's the first seal. The symbol in that first seal is the white horse. Got that? The meaning is the Antichrist. And it's found in Revelation 6, 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. Now, here's what's going to be confusing for some. Some people believe that this white horse represents Christ. Okay, let's look at it and see. Revelation 6, verse 1 and 2. Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, "Come and see." And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. Okay. Jesus is opening the seal, and he's sending out the angels of destruction, or he's looking at that seal, and this is what's happening because the Antichrist is coming on the scene. Do we remember that the Antichrist will appear as being Christ? And the Antichrist will deceive to the point as being people seeing that he is very religious and that this must be the Messiah. It's the Antichrist that is coming to deceive and to destroy. Okay, but wait a minute. Why will I not think that that could be Christ? Well, the white horse, Christ comes on a white horse too. But remember this. This horse is traveling in the same direction all the others are going to be traveling. For one thing, Jesus would not be traveling in their direction. He would be going just the opposite of those that are coming out like this. So we do know that this is the Antichrist who is coming. Now, look at the second seal. The symbol is a red horse. The meaning of the red horse is war. And that's in Revelation 6, 3, and 4. War on earth. When he opened the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, come and see. Interesting, isn't it, that the creatures in heaven, these animals, speak? Another horse, fiery red, went out, and it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another, and there was given to him a great sword. Now, let me remind you of something. When you see all of this type of destruction coming out, we can say, well, we've been in Vietnam. Well, all we have to do is look at some foreign nations now, and it looks like this is going on, right? There's a difference during this period of time. There's not a place where it isn't going on. Right now, you don't see it going on in America. Might be pretty soon you will, but you don't see it going on in America. Many other places, you don't see it going on. At this time, during this period of time, it'll be everywhere. That'll be the difference. The tribulation period will be so involved with horror and terror, there will not be one nation, there will be no one that is going to escape what is going on during this period of time. Now we read about it in the news and say, isn't that horrible? Isn't that horrible over there where all those Christians are martyred or slain? Or the group that just went, Afghanistan? Yeah. Just got slaughtered. And you know, to help folk. And we say, that is horrible. You read about that. Here, you will be living it. Or you won't. The people who are on earth will be. Now, people should kill one another. You say, well, aren't people doing that now? Not like it's going to be happening. No. Seal number three, the third seal. The symbol is a black horse. The meaning is famine. Revelation 6, 5 through 6. Famine on earth. Again, are there places where famine exists? Yes. At this time, every place, there will be famine. There will be famine continually. Now, when he opened the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a black horse. And he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard a voice in the midst of the four living creatures saying, a quart of wheat for a denarius, and three quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not harm the oil and the wine. Famine. What little that you could find would be so precious that you're not, you know, don't do any harm to anything. Preserve what you can. That's how horrible the situation is going to be. Fourth seal, symbols a pale horse. The meaning is death and hell. Revelation 6, 7 through 8. When he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, come and see. So I looked, and behold, a pale horse. And the name of him who sat on it was Death, and Hades followed with him. And power was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword, with hunger, with death, and by the beast of the earth. The warning period. Fourth of the earth now is getting ready to be ravaged totally. Three-fourths of planet earth will have a chance to view and to see and to know what's coming. How many times do we see in our generation a chance after chance after chance that is given? When we get to heaven and we are around the throne, and the excitement of us being there, folks, will be so great, then we'll be so excited. It's obvious, according to Scripture, that yes, we will know what's going on, and whether it's reports coming in or whatever, it's obvious that they did know what was happening back and forth. But what we're involved with is so great that it's taking up all of our time with glorifying God, the blessings that we're going to be such a part of. But this is taking place, and once again, we will see the grace of God warning even the most vile of vile that are left, you don't have to go to hell. You see, that's the message of the gospel. The people choose to follow Satan. You have a choice. You don't have to go to hell. It's not God that sends them to hell. Hell was created for the angels that had fallen. That's where God created hell. So all the human beings that go choose to go there. And many you'll see bragging about it in our own generation, won't you? It's sort of a byword. I'll see you in hell. Well, you may be in hell, but you're not going to see him. It's loneliness. Y'all may be there, but it's a horrible, horrible black death, let's say. Filth seal. There's no symbol for the filth seal. Meaning is the martyrs in heaven. Revelation 6, 9 through 11. Here's where I wanted to show you. That when you were seeing around the throne, now I want you to notice something here. When he opened the filth seal, I saw under the altar, this is the altar in heaven. John is talking about. He saw under the altar in heaven, what? Souls of those who had been slain for the word of God and for their testimony which they held. This is old. These are your Old Testament saints. They're there at under the altar. Don't understand it. But I guarantee you, they're in a good place. Want to listen to this. And they cried with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, until you judge and avenge our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" Then a white robe was given to each of them. Huh. They're the souls in heaven, the spirits that are there. Many said that during that period of time there will be no type of body. Wonder why God gave them a white robe. The spiritual body that is there, just because folks that you and I cannot understand it doesn't mean that it's not true. Just because when God says, here it is, here, take a robe, I want you to have it, and listen to him as he does. Again, he's already dressing them in white. Then a white robe was given to each of them, and it was said to them that they should rest a little while longer until both the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who would be killed as they were was completed. Huh. What does that mean? I don't know. It's exciting, though, isn't it? It's exciting to know that God says, wait a minute, the time isn't right. Well, why don't I know? Because that's in the mind of God. The time that Christ is coming for the rapture of the church is in the mind of God, folks. What did Jesus say? Not even the angels of heaven know at that time when it's going to happen. And so God is giving them the time limit and saying, time's not yet, but it's coming, boys. Relax. Chill out. Here, put some white robes on. Woo! You tell me, they were invited to supper, weren't they? Think of that. All right. I knew I'd get a little excited with that. Sixth seal. Again, there's no symbol on the sixth seal. It's the universal upheaval. Revelation 6, 12 through 17. It's cosmic disturbance. You got it? Revelation 6, 12 through 17, yeah. Is that what's on there? Okay. I looked when he opened the sixth seal, and behold, there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth of hair, and the moon became like blood, and the stars of heaven fell to the earth as a fig tree drops its late figs when it is shaken by a mighty wind. John was telling, said, I want you people to understand. He's writing to the Jews. He said, I want you to see what's getting ready to happen. You know, this is a time period, too, when you will hear all of the scientists and all say, well, it's going to be a meteor. I can picture them now during that time. Folks, the stars are going to fall from heaven. But God's the one to make them fall, not man. Now, then the sky receded as a scroll. When it is rolled up, and every mountain and island was moved out of its place. And the kings of the earth, the great men, the rich men, the commanders, the mighty men, every slave, every free man, hid themselves in the caves and in the rocks of the mountain and said to the mountains and the rocks, fall on us and hide us from the face of him who sits on the throne and from the wrath of the Lamb. They're all yelling this together. They know now at this time who Christ is and who God is. For the great day of the wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They would cry for the rocks and the mountains. They wanted to die. But what they saw is death was non-existence. It's impossible. Folks, that's what we must get across to the lost and dying world. Look, if they want to live like hell and say, follow hell's path and go to hell when they die, if that was it, meaning it's over, big deal, do it. But it's not over. Every human being that has ever been created by God will be in existence forever and ever and ever. And they will spend eternity forever and ever and ever, either in heaven or in hell. And that's why the warning is going out. That's why Revelation is there to unveil for us the horrors of that time, so the church will come alive and reach to a lost and dying world and say, you don't have to go there. Well, why don't you preach more on hell, Brother Larry? Because they don't have to go there. And I'll tell you where they can go, and in choosing Christ. Do I believe hell is real? You better believe it. And do I believe that it exists in the heart of man? Sure. You've caught enough hell from each other, haven't you? Or life? Think of that. That's a fact, folks. Hell is alive and well on planet Earth. Not the eternal one, but those from hell. Remember, Satan's still living here, people. And he's alive and well and quite active. Seven seals. Seven trumpets. Okay, here's what's going on with the seventh seal. It, the seventh seal, when it is open, is introducing the next wave of horrors, the trumpets. It's and go to, you have to go to Revelation 8, start with verse 1 there. All the others, you will see what was going on during those disturbances and all. But Revelation 8, verses 1 through 6. When he opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven for about half an hour. Somebody once asked, is there time in heaven? Now, here's what you need to look at, though, two ways on this one. Either John is trying to relate to the Hebrews, or the Jewish nation. John's trying to relate to them from the human condition in about a half hour span. Or there was actual time existing in heaven. God does not exist in time. Time has no effect on God. God always was, God always will be. And but was there time in heaven? There was here. About a half hour span. Think of this. Okay. Think of our crew. That's okay. Here we are, the saints. That's us. We're in heaven. They're redeemed. We're around the throne. Seventh seal is opened. I want you to think how powerful. All the redeemed ever in existence at this time are there. And nobody's saying anything for a half an hour. Picture this group alone. Do you really think those two over there sitting are going to be silent for a half? It would take an act of God. But think of that. Something so awesome is getting ready to happen that all of us around the throne at that time, we will be so awestruck by it that there will be total silence. And I saw the seven angels who stand before God, and to them were given seven trumpets. Then another angel, having a golden censer, came and stood at the altar, right in front of God. You got this? He was given much incense. that he should offer it with the prayers of all the saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. The incense we're talking about is the incense that you see represented a lot of times in some churches. They will carry the incense and all, which is to ward off or to conquer the evil spirits or the evil that is surrounding the area. And just because we Protestants or we Baptists don't understand that and don't believe, you know, don't understand the association there, doesn't mean that it's not going to be happening. It is, but we'll know then. And the smoke of the incense with the prayers of the saints ascended before God from the angel's hand. Then the angel took the censer, filled it with fire from the altar. Folks, the fire that's getting ready to rain on earth is coming from the altar of God. You ready? And threw it to the earth. It wasn't fire coming up from the earth created by man, but it is fire rained down directly from the hand of God, right direct from his altar. And threw it to the earth, and there were noises, thunderings, lightnings, and an earthquake. So the seven angels who had the seven trumpets prepared themselves to sound. Those seven angels with those seven trumpets were ready to blow the trumpet call of God, the seven trumpets judgment.